Praise the Lord. You all can be seated. We're going to get right on with this and get into the word that Brother Richard has for us this morning. Looking forward to that. Amen. Have you been blessed? God is good. We're going to pray for healing here of people that are on our prayer list this morning. And just lift your hands right now as I pray, as we come into agreement in prayer. If you have a prayer request on your heart today, just lift your hands and we're going to come into agreement with the word and with each other, united, amen, and pray over these prayer requests. All of them on here are for healing. Father, we just come before you today in the name of Jesus, thanking you for your word that says, by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Lord, I lift these names up to you, Lord, that you would bring healing, a manifestation to these people on this prayer request, Lord. For those that are have reports that are coming in, God, we thank you that the report of the Lord says that they are healed by your stripes. We thank you for touching every person on this prayer list, God, showing them mighty favor, Lord, because you are the healer. By the stripes of Jesus, they're healed. We come against the attack of the enemy on their bodies, and we say to halt your endeavor in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise for, Lord, for every person, Lord, that has their hand raised right now, God, whether it's the salvation of a loved one, for a healing in their own bodies, God, that your presence is here, God, to bring that manifestation, Lord. For every person that has their hand raised right now, God, I come into agreement with them, come into agreement with your word for healing, God, and for deliverance and for restoration, Father God. Lord, we stand united, God, believing that you are an awesome God and you are great and greatly to be praised. Amen. The church said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now we get to give again. Hallelujah. Bible says he loves a cheerful giver. So when you choose to give, you are releasing what God has put on your heart to give and let God multiply it, not just back to you, but to go forth and do the work of the kingdom. This is our camp meeting offering. Father, we thank you right now. Just get quiet before the Lord and ask him what he would have you to give. And as he speaks to your heart, just take it in your hands and release it to him and say, I give this to you, Lord, for the work of your kingdom. I release it now from me into you, for you to do what needs to be done. I thank you, Lord, that you take care of all of my needs and that you will multiply it. Father, we thank you right now for what you've done during these meetings, that it's been a divine hookup, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, even in the days ahead of reports of what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may gather. Go ahead. Well, I want to introduce our next speakers this morning, Richard and Bonita Pierce. They're no special. I'm sorry, Ricardo. You have a special? Okay. That'll be fine. You may do it at the end of the service. They're no strangers here. You all know my story. It seems like I've told it so much lately, maybe just to confirm to myself how I came to this church 19 years ago. My sister and her husband was actually coming here, and I heard a little bit through them, not a whole lot, because I weren't close to them at that time. And I was working at the factory, and Debbie Pritchard worked there, and she was all the time talking about going to the fellowship. Tonight I get to go to the fellowship, because then it was New Life Christian Fellowship. And then I went back to the nursing home to work, and I took care of Granny Draper's husband. I was his aide for a while, and she knew that I had a young son. I was a single mother of a little blonde-haired, brown-eyed boy. And I was looking for a youth group at that time because the church that I was going didn't have a very prosperous youth group. And I wanted to get him involved in a youth group. And she was telling me about Richard and Bonnie, about being the youth pastors here. And so I came one Sunday morning and brought my son. And it was through Granny Draper that I actually sowed the seed in my life to get me here. So I came once a month on Sunday morning because I worked at the nursing home, and we were only off one Sunday a month, and she'd always have a seat for me and Jeremy, and we'd always sit by her, and Bonnie and Richard have sowed so much into my son's life, and God gave us a word at the beginning of the service, think not the seed you've sown into your children's lives, it's not been in vain. Thank you for sowing into my son's life. He asks about you all every once in a while, and so thank you. And we love you. Come on up here and bless us with the word today. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, praise God. I'm sweaty, but I love you anyway.
Well, the Bible says, I know the plans I have for you. The thing is God wants to show you that plan. And, you know, when you're a little kid and you're in kindergarten, you know, you just get up and you go to school. You know, you're second grader, you just go to school. And, you know, it's Christmas time, they just kind of do it to you, you know. There comes a time when God has blessed you so much, you know, that we get to go, yeah, we got 10 grandkids. And Christmas comes and we're like, oh, we have 10 grandkids. You know, it's kind of neat because God knows the plan. And what I'm saying is it cost more having 10 grandchildren than it did just having 4 sons. You know, it cost more. But the thing is also, as we mature in Christ, and you, this body here is maturing all the time in Christ, and you're growing deeper in the Word of God. And it's not only the Word that Jerry says, but it's the Word of God that lives and abides within you. And as you know that Word, God is going to show you things and the plans He has for you. And then what you have to do is you have to wake up with a goal and a purpose, because you got a plan. How am I going to have that plan come to pass? Now, if you were going to be a basketball player, then you'd play basketball. Bob Reynolds said one of the most wisest things to my son. He said, now, Joshua, I'll tell you this. Whenever I played the piano and it was time to milk the cows, my grandmother would say, that's okay, I'll go milk the cows for you. There was a plan for Bob. And it wasn't in cows, although we thank God for the cows. The plan was the piano. And he had a purpose and he had a plan. And Joshua got real smart. He did the same thing. Yeah, I'd say play it again because I knew there was a mistake in there. And I'd say play it again because I love hearing your music. Play it again. Hey, what about this measure right here? Play it again. He said, Mom, I'll get a tape player and you can listen all you want. But that's kind of like how it is with the children of Israel when they went around that mountain. They kept going around and again because they wouldn't get it right. They kept going around and again. And the only thing they were missing was, I believe you, Lord. See, they had the strength and they had the power within themselves to keep on walking and just kind of barely make it. But when they said, God, I want your infusion of your power in my life because this is too big and it's too difficult. The kindergartner just gets up every day because mama gets them up. The kindergartner goes to bed every day. Just a minute, I want to pray for you children's past. Who's working with children? Denise. I want to pray for every one of you. Come here. Who else works with children at this church? Come on up here. If you work with kids at church, I want you up here. Kids, I want you behind them because we're going to pray for them. Kids, come on up. Kids, come on up. I'm sorry. I meant to say that right at the beginning. Sherry, you said you weren't getting it. Get up here, chick. No, you're in the front. You face this way. You need the prayer. Oh, God, help this woman. You work with kids? This way. All right. Who else is a worker? Face this way. Okay? You're appointed and you're anointed. And I stir up that anointing that God has placed within you, that you're going to have God words. You're not going to have flesh words. You're going to speak the Word of God only. The Word of God brings life and it brings it more abundantly. The Word of God that you speak is what's going to bring forth fruit. It's not your little things about your private life. It's the God Word. The God Word is what's going to bring fruit. The Scriptures is what's going to bring fruit. It's a pure Word of God that's going to abide and live forever. It is going to live forever. And I stir up. Do you guys work in the children's ministry too? You look like a worker. Well, the Word of God's what's going to produce in you. In Jesus' name. I speak to the Word of God that's playing within you, that the Word of God is going to be made fun, alive, and it's going to live. But it's the Word and memorizing of that Scripture that's going to be there forever and ever. Because it will not pass away. Father, I thank you that she's going to have Scriptures in her heart. And she's going to memorize the Scriptures and get those kids memorizing Scriptures. And it's the Word that's going to bring life. You're not behind. You're ahead. You're not behind, you're not ahead. And I thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that abides here. And the Scripture memorization is what's going to be given to you to put into those children in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you're anointed and you're appointed. And Father, I thank you the Word of God flows to the young as well as to the old. That spirit man right inside of her is just as alive and alert as an 80-year-old woman. And Father, I thank you that the Word of God that you speak will come to pass over these kids in Jesus' name. How many people here are 12 years old? Raise your hand. 12? Raise your hand. You're an almoster. Anybody else almost? You're almost. Can you come over here just for sake that I can hit all three at once? Kind of like the three amigos over here, okay? How old are you? 12? I thought so. Okay. All right. 1, 2, 3. All right. These three men right here. Like the three musketeers, God's got a call on your life. There's a sword for you to pick up. There's a sword, and you need to keep your sword sharp, because if you get a dull sword, it looks like you've got a weapon, but then when you go to use it, you don't know how to use it. You've got a sword in your hand. You got a sword in your heart. You got a sword in your mind. And when you've got that sword right there, that sword needs to be sharp, and you need to know how to use it. If you don't know how to use a sword, you'll look big and bad, and somebody will pop you over. So you've got to take time to use that sword. And what is a sword? That's right. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And you learn to use that Word of God. You know what? One time Gerald Rutherford prayed for our gerbil. Well, actually, it was Miriam's gerbil that came to our house that became our gerbil. And it fell off about this high, went out. Poof. Aw, man. That's the cruddiest thing for boys to see their pet die. Aw, man. So you know what we did? Picked that dude up, prayed for it, went, started breathing on it. The little mouse went, there the gerbil was happy again. Had to find him in the dirty clothes again. Use the Word of God in your daily life. It works. Doesn't it work, Mom? Right? Yeah? Okay. All right. Did you pray for all the kids?
No. Did I pray for all the kids? Is there
Who did you not touch? She's 12? Is that what you're saying, a 12-year-old? Oh, you know what is the neatest, most wonderful thing? Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never, never, never go away. Grandma and Grandpa leaves, but God never leaves you. And you know what? I would spend all my time when I'd go to bed at night, because, you know, I talk a lot. And I would lay on my pillow, and I would sing songs to Jesus. And there he was right there with me. I'd spend time with him. And you know what? God wants to go to your house with you. He does. He does. And you know what? Mom and Dad love it when you spend time with God, because you come out happier. And Mom and Dads love happy kids, don't they? That's right. Father, I thank for the angel of the Lord that goes about and goes with them, watches over them. Father, I thank you for the presence of God that lives inside them, though. The presence of God is within you. But God's given angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And everywhere you go, he'll go before you and prepare the way. Take time to read your Bible. You can even call Grandma and Grandpa on the phone, and they can read you a scripture or tell you a Bible story. Amen? Amen. I charge every one of you adults, what you speak, what you sow, that's what you'll get. So if you speak into these people right here, the Word of God and the Bible stories, that's what you'll get back. If you speak the news, the neighbor gossip, the telephone gossip, all my life, all the world turns as the stomach turns, you know, all those shows, you know, on TV, that's what you'll get. Take the time to sow the Word of God. Amen. We used to go on television fast. We weren't allowed to watch TV for a whole month. No Nintendo, no Game Boy, no SDI. I don't know what the names are nowadays. Richard's kids just went on another fast. They don't get TV or any electronic toy for a month. Why? Because they're separating themselves for God, not to torture themselves. Okay? So, all right, I didn't get these workers down here. I touched you, right? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the Word of God that comes out of his mouth. He doesn't have to say too much. He just has to say the Word. Speak the Word only, and she shall live. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for young energy. Father, I thank you for the Word of God that's strong within her. And she's going to speak the Word. As she loves the babies and the kids, in Jesus' name, amen. Father, I thank you. It makes me think of, the Lord is good. Father, I thank you. The Word of God being spoken out of her mouth is what's going to bring forth fruit. The pure Word of God, that's what's going to make action and change. How many people want to drive a car? now or later. You want to drive a car? You want to go back to a horse? You want to drive a car? You want to drive, don't you? Okay, do you want a horse or a car? Both? Okay, all right. Okay, if you want your car to run, you've got to put in it gasoline. You cannot put in it television time. So if you want a God future, you need the Word of God inside of you. Amen? And I charge you, pure word with the kids. Pure word in your life. Cheerleading, like, you know, 2, 4, 6, 8. Who do we appreciate? Jesus, you know. But the Word of God with energy, the Word of God with paint, the Word of God with colors, the Word of God with songs, the Word of God with races. You know, I could do all things through Christ with strength in me, and I'm going to beat the pants off of him and run. I mean, use the Word of God in your gifting of drawing. Use the Word of God, see? You know, use your gifting, you know. I mean, you might be the best roller in the whole world. You can do little rolls across the whole room, saying the Bible scripture, and everybody gets up and vomit. It's really fun. It's cool. But no, really, the Word of God with whatever gifting is yours, okay? Keep the Word of God flowing in those classes. Well, I let you go, and I thank God for you.
God bless you.
Now, Children's Church is going to stand here, okay? If you're in preschool, nursery, you can go. Children's Church, go to your parents, okay?
He's a good speaker. You'll love it.
Yes.
You'll love it. If you have to stay in here, you're going to absolutely love it. Won't they, Sherry? I thought so. Okay, I know the plans for you. They're plans that God has. They have a hope and a future, but you've got to make a purpose and a plan to get after it. You have to make a goal. Don't just wake up and expect it to rain down only. Okay? Make a plan for God, and you are mature, and you can do it. Amen? Thank you for the food last night. We miss Kentucky so bad. We've never had such good food since 13 years. Sad. Look at this skinny man. 13 years.
Turn it. Woo. Thank you. You know, I was thinking, Brother Clifton. Yeah, you can turn me way down if you'd like. I was thinking, Brother Clifton, that wisdom has its, age has its benefits when I was thinking of you this morning. I thought, he's almost old enough to be my father.
Yeah.
And what a man of God, you know? Yeah. Praise God. But you can still take me down even more. What was I saying? Oh, I'll crank that up. And man, I just blast it out, singing it out. I just don't care, you know. Because I'm going to tell you, his love for me means more to me than what people think about me. And I have a passion for Jesus that finally got rekindled again. And I refuse to give up my passion for anybody. Jesus deserves all my passion. All of it. Now, you get my compassion, but Jesus gets my passion.
Right. Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to minister to you this morning. Just a little. I'm one of these preachers that does come up with a three-point message usually. I feel more comfortable doing that. And since I don't have my printer here, I couldn't print out my message, but I do have my computer here, so we're going to be high-tech this morning. Is that all right?
Yeah.
But I want to minister to you this morning out of Judges chapter 6. We're going to be covering verses 11 through 16, I believe, or 11 through 14, something like that. Judges chapter 6, verse 11.
While you're turning there, can I get a hold of Kaylin?
Kaylin?
Do you mind coming in front of everybody? You like being in the back.
A word from the Lord. Just be ready.
Oh, good. Okay. Okay.
Kaylin's ready to go off for college, and I want to admonish you. I know you're almost like out the door, but if you could write down, honestly, your goals. Three goals while you're on. Not right now. Three goals. Three goals that you have.
Come on. That's good.
For while you're leaving home. Mm-hmm. Okay? What I saw was, a week and a half ago, I saw the most gorgeous little gifts, and they were black. The wrapping paper was black, and it was just perfect, whatever perfect is. And it had like white bows on it. And they were just absolutely gorgeous. Had the ribbon coming up. And they each one had a gorgeous little writing of saying certain things on it. And it's like there was a whole bunch of these gifts out there. And these gifts, because they're beautiful, okay? And the only thing is he said, John 10:10, and he said, study to show yourself approved a workman. Okay? A workman to be approved. That's 2 Timothy. Okay. And one, I think 2:15. So he said, John 10:10, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy.
Right.
And he said, God told him, use that verse, the first verse, for the second verse, because there's a line drawn like this. Mm-hmm. This side is the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And this side is Jesus came to bring life in that more abundantly. Amen. And to remember and don't ever get them mixed up. These gifts were not cool. Mm. The gifts were like any desire you would have that, even a great desire, a God desire, okay? But the thing is what the devil did is he made the package gorgeous. And when you opened up each one, it was emptiness.
Mm. Okay.
And you opened up another package, and there was sorrow and pain.
Mm.
And you opened up another package, your devastation was there.
Mm.
And I want you to keep on your goal. Write the three goals down that you can look at them later.
Right.
And you can look at them another time later. Maybe you leave them at home. Hide them in a special spot at Nana's or something. And you look at them, and you come back and you say, was it on this side or is it on this side? And when any package comes near you, make sure which right it was. Right. Do you know Brenda Heron? Not really? Okay. Okay. But God has everything you want. He has planted desires within you. Mm-hmm. Okay? He gave you God desires. But make sure God is the one giving you the gift.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because he can tease you and joke you and make you think something phony is real.
The enemy.
But you know the difference between God.
Right.
And your spirit man knows it. Mm-hmm. Can I pray for you? Father, I thank you for the plans you've got for this girl. Father, I thank you for her destiny. Father, I thank you for the plans and the purposes. Father, I thank you for the hope. And Father, I thank you you're going to be her comfort when she's alone. You said you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. And Father, I thank you for the holiness, the purity, and the power of God all around her.
Yes.
That she can walk in the beauty of the King.
Mm-hmm.
And she has the attention of the King.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And Father, I thank you that she's not like everybody else at her house. She's special. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I know you really don't care, but I used to be darker than your mom. Okay? And I would hold you in church, and ministers that came in thought you were my baby. And they would have words that you would go far.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd think, but I'm not holding a girl that's mine. But the words of the Lord. So I look at you and I have covenant with you.
Amen.
And I love you.
Amen.
A lot. Mm-hmm. Girl.
Mm. Wow. Powerful. 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 Hallelujah. Stay up here. Stay up here for a minute. Ricardo and Miriam, come on up with the rest of your children. Is we're missing one? Are we missing one child? Can we get them in here? Can I have somebody give them a quick break in this children's ministry? We might as well just go along this flow for just a minute. You know, you can hear anybody preach anytime, okay? And I'll still preach, trust me. I won't keep my eye on that clock, though.
That one doesn't have a battery. It doesn't work. We got out last night. It was 12 o'clock. The battery doesn't work.
Or something. I don't know. It looked like 9 o'clock when it was actually 11:30 last night to me.
Seriously, to you, did it feel like it was really, 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 really too late to stay? Well, see.
Yeah, see there, the anointing comes up here. Hallelujah. Just pray in tongues with us, will you? We're just stirring up the gift inside of us. Amen. By praying, that's what the Bible says. Stir up that gift that's been placed within you.
One time my mom was praying, seeing that about she and they keep praying. My mom was praying, seeing that about it, seeing that about it, seeing that about it. She actually went through a time when I was in eighth grade that she hated me, seeing that about it. I gave her cause. But the thing is she prayed, and what she said to me, she said, whatever you're going to do, you'll do it with all your heart, and you'll go far in life. And I want to tell you, if you're praying for your kids, if you're praying for your husband, pray for your neighbor, God may give you two words. Don't add anything else to it. Just leave it at that. But
that's
pray
right.
In the spirit for people. Pray in the spirit
right.
For yourself.
Hallelujah. Well, just grab hands, all of you, hold hands with each other. I want to say, Ricardo, that I appreciate you being the father just then and being the man of the house and telling your daughter what to do with the baby. You know, that was good. That was good. That was necessary. Sometimes we don't do that kind of stuff. Because we don't want to offend somebody or hurt somebody. And what we do is miss the blessing of God just because we're so worried about offending somebody. And, you know, that's God's faithful. All right. I just want to speak over this family because the first night we were here, I saw in them as they were standing up. I think Miriam was over there on that microphone and Mackenzie was up on the piano and Ricardo was leading the praise and worship. And I don't know if you were here. We missed you Friday night.
She was with her nan.
Okay, that's awesome. That's a good place to be. And Matthew and Mercedes. Okay, Mercedes. Okay. That's okay. You guys have.
That's right.
You guys. I'm speaking to this congregation now. You guys have awesome pastors that have raised up a lot of men and women in the kingdom of God. And they have raised up, listen, we're a product of this church and pastors, Gerald and Laverne Relaford. okay? And even my pastor up in Cincinnati recognizes that. I had him praying for our pastor last Monday night at prayer, and he said, "Brother," he said, "I want you to know that we are blessed by you because of what your pastor down in Kentucky has sown into you. And by the way, our pastor is way too young to be experiencing what he's experiencing."
Amen.
And as a matter of fact, nobody should ever experience it in Jesus' name. It's not in the Bible. So we just believe in that he's the healed of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
But I want you to know something. He has raised up his kids, and I still remember one camp meeting years ago when Pastor Laverne stood up and she said, the Lord showed me that this is the year of the prodigals returning. And Miriam was out in sin. And I thought, the first thing I thought of was Miriam Relaford. And I thought, bless God, this is the year. And within two weeks or 2 months, something like that, of that word, you came back, you gave your, not that God took your heart away, you know, but you turned your heart away from God. She turned her heart back to God. God started working in her life. And not everything was perfect after that. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But now you have an almost perfect family because...
Because of the blood of Jesus.
Because of the blood
he
of Jesus and what God's doing in your lives. And folks, I want you... This family is what it is because of your pastors.
Amen.
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 And man, I'm telling you, that's and Brother Clifton and Sister Jerry, if you guys want to prophesy over them or something, that's fine. But I just want to say to you, Ricardo, and all of your family, Ricardo and Miriam, and your lovely children, that God is going to use you beyond what you've ever experienced yet. He's going to take you farther than you could have ever thought.
Amen.
He's going to do it, though. He's going to do it. You're not going to do it. He's going to do it. If you try and do it, you'll fall and you'll fail. But you let God do it. And you know what? This is a wonderful place you're serving. That's awesome. You're serving these people. Every one of you are serving. You're serving, even if you're not on the worship team, you're serving because
you're
your daddy and your mama are serving.
Amen.
You're serving through them. They're serving through you. You, and you guys may be workers in the future. You all are serving. Every one of you are serving, whether you're playing on the worship team, whether you're preaching the gospel up front here.
Pushing a vacuum cleaner, picking up garbage.
Right, or whatever you're doing, you're serving the Lord. And I want you to know that don't give up on the Lord. You hold on to Jesus and you let him hold on to you with all he's got. Because he will. Oh, how he loves us.
Yeah.
And there's no more time, is there, Miriam, for these silly regrets?
No,
like that
no
song
time.
Said. I don't have any time for silly regrets anymore. I don't regret what I've done in the past. Though some things I've done in the past have been horrible. I don't regret them. There's no time for that. Because the power of God wants to flow through me to set people free.
Amen.
And that's all I'm going for.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
And I'm going to tell you something. When I was watching you on the piano the other night, I thought of my son Joshua, who was tutored under Dr. Bob back there. And I saw Joshua when he could just basically beat out a chord. Isn't that right, Doc Reynolds? And on a keyboard, and that's all he could do. But now my son is a very accomplished worship leader, plays the keyboards, leads worship. He's actually pastoring our church that we were pastoring up in Troy, Ohio now. Because he was faithful and committed to the gift inside of him.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You can be seated. I just wanted to say that. Hallelujah. Give him a hand. Give this. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, many times pastors that are related to their children don't honor their children like they would somebody else in the ministry. Now, I know Pastor Laverne does that. But sometimes pastors just don't do that because they don't want to think they're favoring their own children. I fell into that. I don't know if you guys did or not. I fell into that where I didn't honor my children effectively and properly. And as a result, there was some misunderstandings in my family. But you know what? This is not about me. This is not about my family. This is about Judges chapter 6. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. We're going to read a few verses. I'm just going to preach a message to you that is going to be based on the power of unity and getting out of the wine press today. Amen? Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in a winepress, in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" And by the way, while we're at it, where are all the miracles? Come on. Where are all the miracles? that our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us out from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Now, we're going to stop reading there for sake of time and for sake of things that I don't want to get involved in the message this morning, because there's a lot in there. But I just want to share 3 points with you and then a couple of sub-points. So if you're taking notes this morning, and I would really encourage you when your pastor or whoever's ministering is to take notes, all right? It helps you retain what they're saying. If you're taking notes this morning, the first thing I want you to see is this, is that fear will cause us to hide in the wine press. Say that with me. Fear will cause us to hide in the wine press. Say it again. Fear will cause us Now, what do you mean, Pastor, that fear will cause us to hide? Well, we got Gideon here. Listen, God just said you're a mighty man of valor. And how many of you know, and this is something that we need to learn in the church today, that God never speaks to the problem. He always speaks to the potential. You see, we miss so many things in the church today because we're speaking to the problem. And God says, I speak to the potential. I speak the word of God. That's what God is saying. I speak the word of God that's inside of you. That is the potential. God doesn't care about the problem. Oh, I know that kind of affects some of us wrong, but God, what God cares about is the potential that He's got inside of us, that it's going to rise up and that it's going to produce the fruit that He wants it to produce. So we have a mighty man of valor here, Gideon, and he's standing in the wine press. And what is he doing in the wine press? He's grinding out grapes. Is he? No, he's not. What did we read that he was doing? Threshing wheat. Threshing wheat. What in the world are you doing threshing wheat in a wine press? Man, that's mixed up theology. And yet, so often we find ourselves doing the very same thing because we don't have the boldness, or we won't access the boldness of the presence of God inside of us. If you're going to thresh wheat, brothers and sisters, get in the threshing floor. If you're going to get wine, go to the wine press. But don't thresh wheat in the wine press. Now, I've looked up several pictures of a wine presses in ancient Israel and stuff. And the wine presses will be anywhere from this high on up to about this high, okay, where you can go thresh wheat in the wine press. And he was threshing wheat in there because the Midianites, every time they would thresh wheat or the crops would come to fruition, the Midianites and all of the other ites around would come in with camels and donkeys and horses and chariots, and they would get these guys that were threshing the wheat, and they'd steal their food. And the Bible says before this passage of Scripture that because of that, the nation of Israel became impoverished. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to become impoverished, and so I am not going to let the enemy come in and steal my wheat, which is the bread, which is the word of Almighty God. I refuse to allow my word of Almighty God that's been sown into my life, or what's not sown yet but will be sown, that's out of this book, I refuse to let it be stolen out of my life. And we need to get to that point, every one of us. So we find this mighty man of valor, and what is he doing again? In the wine press. Why is it that we as Christians, many times, we forget to go to the wine press to get the wine of the Holy Ghost? Instead, we're going to the wine press and trying to thresh the wheat. And then we miss the wine of the Holy Ghost. That wonderful, intoxicating beverage that only comes spiritually. I'm not talking about physical wine. I'm not a drinker, okay? I don't believe Christians should drink, but if that's what you do, then you're still a Christian, but you just maybe not real wise, okay? Sipping saint, right. I used to be a puffing prophet, so. But I'm free, praise God. I'm so glad, and I don't condemn you if you're a puffing prophet. I'm thankful that I'm not. You know, we have such a loving pastor in Pastor Gerald Relaford that he had me leading worship when I was a puffing prophet. Mercy, mercy, yeah. The first thing is fear will cause you to hide in the wine press. The second, under that sub-point, this is not the second point, this is sub-point A, okay? I have to share 3 points, so we're sticking to 3 points. So A, fear will also cause you not to drink of the spiritual wine. Isn't that amazing? He's right in the wine press, and what is he, drinking of the spiritual wine? Oh, no. No. Why? Because he's doing the wrong thing in the wine press. He's threshing wheat. He should be drinking of the spiritual wine. Folks, when the enemy comes at us, many times we run to the wine press for protection. And we ought to run to the wine press and say, just Holy Ghost, just fill me. Fill me again fresh again today. Or just flow out of me again fresh today. Rise up within me again fresh today. That's what we ought to be doing. We ought to just lay ourselves in the presence of God. I love that song we sang this morning about Him being our refuge. Man, you see, that's getting into the wine press and drinking of the spiritual wine, letting Him be your refuge when the trouble comes. So fear will also cause you not to drink of the spiritual wine. B, under that same point, fear will stop you from receiving joint partnership in ministry. Now, I had to bring this point in from another message I preached about a couple years ago, because I really felt like the Holy Ghost was saying, son, this fits this ministry, New Life for the Nations, at this time. Fear will cause you to stop. Fear will stop you from receiving joint partnership in ministry. You see, by joint partnership, what do I mean? I mean that every one of us here, sitting here today, are partners in ministry. Listen, this ministry cannot function, it cannot flow without everybody doing their part and be a part of the ministry. And the thing about it is, the thing that I've seen when waters start rippling, and we might as well just hit it. You know, sheep like to drink from still waters, that's true. But how many of you know that sheep aren't supposed to run just because the waters get a little bit rough sometimes? Come on, sheep don't run around. Goats buck the fence. Goats jump the fence. Goats will butt you when your back is turned. But sheep, they don't like the rough waters. They don't like rippling waters, and they don't like to drink out of the rippling waters, but they will if they have to. And it's not a sheep's responsibility to run. I'm saying something here today. And you know what? Maybe some of you need to get this CD and say, some guy from up north, some Yankee that doesn't have much love for people, came down and preached this, and I want you to hear it. If that's what you have to do, you do it. But I'm telling you, sheep don't run. Sheep are followers. They stay, and they stay in the flock. And when sheep run, sheep lose their blessing. And I know what the latest and the greatest is. Come on. I was a pastor for 13 years. We sold good people. I had people come to my church, get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, healings. And because our church couldn't offer them a good children's ministry, we had a good children's ministry, but not for their specific age group. They went to the big church down the road. That's tough as a pastor to face that kind of stuff. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying. And I wanted to say to them, why don't you get involved in the children's ministry and then get it established here? Help us out. Don't come and sit and say, well, I just don't know, you know, and I don't want, and then, you know, I don't know why we can't have what so-and-so. And the church they went to was a great church. Don't get me wrong. I love the pastor. He's ministered at our Open Bible Ministries conferences. He's a good man of God.
Amen.
But those sheep lost out. And now those sheep have left his church and they go to a church that doesn't even believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, even though they received that at our church. You know, that's what happens to sheep that go where it looks better.
Right.
I'm a goat. I'm going to buck this fence. All right, come on, let's loosen up a little bit, okay? That was the roughest I'll get. Is that all right? Okay. Yeah, it is good, isn't it? So what happens is what happens is when the enemy comes, because we're afraid of what might happen, we're afraid of putting our neck out. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. We are afraid to put our necks out for fear we might fail. Well, who gives a rip if you fail or not? God never fails. And that's the thing I go back to. God never fails. He cannot fail. You know, and the thing about God is you don't, we don't demand that he honors his word. You don't have to, because God honors his word without us demanding it. But sometimes I do demand that the devil get his hands off of the work of God. Because that's man. That's I want to see you set free. That's why I serve God passionately. Because if you have a problem in your life and you come into church and see me dancing and free in the spirit and stuff, man, maybe you'll get free in the spirit. You know, not saying you're not, but just using as an example. I just don't waste, I don't believe in wasting time. We waste too much time. Man, get serious about God. Get serious about the things of God and serving God with all of your heart and just being his child. Hallelujah. A son, a king and a priest unto our God. That's what we've been made. So fear will stop you from receiving joint partnership and ministry. And I've got added on here, pressing in. Pressing in. I could take you to, and I won't, but I could take you, I believe it's to the book of John where Jesus is preaching by the water, and the crowds are pressing in on him. It was the ones that pressed in that got next to Jesus and felt his presence and his anointing. It's the ones that were saying, I'm not satisfied with this anymore, brother. I'm going all the way. You can't stop me. You can't shut me up. I'm going all the way. I'm pressing. I refuse to stop. I refuse to stop. I'm pressing in with all I've got. Maybe that's why I get sweaty in services. It's like, oh, Lord, I got sweaty again. What am I? Pressing in. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this, anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but it does empty today of its strength. Should I read that again? Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It only empties today of its strength. That was written by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a great man of God. You see, this is a time more than any, and I'm going to say this from a pastor's point of view. This is a time more than any other time when Pastors Gerald and Laverne need you to press in. I'm going to tell you, this church and this ministry, this building was not built this size just because we wanted a big size building. It wasn't. I was here when it was built. It was built because we believed that God would fill this place. And I know that that confidence in God, in his word, is still there. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, all it takes is the word getting out. Did you know that sister so-and-so used to be in a wheelchair and sister so-and-so got out of that chair? Did you know that brother so-and-so, he was bound up in a spirit of addiction and the power of God set him free at church the other night? Did you know that so-and-so was bound with depression and God set him free and they haven't been depressed for months? All it takes is a few testimonies like that, and people want to come and see what's going on.
Exactly.
Amen.
That's it.
And I love Brother Clifton and Sister Jerry's anointing too, because they're not just satisfied to say, do that, but they get out in the streets and they talk to people individually and stuff and witness to people. Listen, this church isn't going to be built just by miracles happening in here.
It happens on the streets.
It happens on the streets. It happens by your word of mouth. I'm a painter by trade now, and my wife and I still travel and minister, but I've been a bivocational pastor for 13 years, the last 11 years I've been painting. I've got a good painting business. I don't have to be concerned about money because God takes that concern for me, and I'm successful. But the thing is, what I do with my painting business is I talk to people about the Lord, and I'm blunt. I talked to one Jewish guy one time. I mean, he's literally a Jewish guy. I mean, he was born Jewish. And then quit believing anything because he saw so many inconsistencies in a Jewish religion. And I mean, I just got right blunt with him. I said, well, what about Jesus being the Messiah? I don't believe in that. Well, I said, well, why don't you believe in it? Well, because just blah, blah, blah. And he gave reasons. I said, well, this is what the Bible says. Now, what do you think about that? I don't really believe the Bible. I said, well, what about, I quoted some Old Testament scriptures for him that Jesus quoted, you know, said in the New Testament. Well, I don't really believe the Old Testament. I believe it was just, you know, and he's a Jewish, born and raised Jewish, in a Jewish tradition, Jewish faith. And I finally looked at him and I said, well, brother, I said, you know, if what I'm saying is wrong, what have I lost? But if the way you're believing is wrong, then you could spend eternity in hell. Well, I'll take my chances. And I thought, my God, take your chances. But, you know, I've been praying for him ever since then. That was been about 4 years ago. But I've been praying for that man ever since then, that he will receive Jesus as his Savior. Amen. And I believe those prayers are going to bear fruit. But see, that's called joint partnership and ministry out in the streets. That's what I'm talking about. You see, you know, people talk about ministry so much, and I used to think of when I was a kid, well, yeah, I mean, I'm going to be a pastor, and I was, you know, and I probably will be pastoring again someday. But that's not the point. Ministry is not being a pastor.
Right.
Ministry is just letting the Spirit of the Lord flow through you wherever you're at. That's ministry. I used to walk into Ronnie's hardware store years ago. You know, he never spoke to me about the Lord years ago. This was even before he started coming to New Life Christian Fellowship, if I remember right. We bought our first lawnmower from him for my son's lawn mowing business. We bought a lot of mowers from him over the years, haven't we, brother? And weed eaters. But I never will forget, he ministered to me. And you know how he ministered to me? I walked up to him. He didn't know me from Adam. And I said, Mr. Burton, I think, something like this, if I remember right. My son and I want to start a lawn mowing business. We got 1 yard to do besides ours. And that was Mr. Miller, who's since passed on, you know. But he lived in our subdivision, Long Hunter subdivision, where we used to live. And I said, we got 1 yard. And I said, I really think we can pick up a couple more. Could I have like 30 days same as cash to buy a mower? And I don't even think you ran a credit check on me that time or something. You just said, well, yeah, you were back on that alley back then, you know, in that store. And he said, well, yeah, you can. So we went and picked out the cheapest mower I could find and a pair of hedge trimmers. Not a weed eater. Hedge trimmers. Yeah, you know, those grass shears. That's what they're called, grass shears. Man, I'll tell you, I developed a strong arm that year right here. I was like Popeye, okay? The other hand wasn't worth much, but yeah, but I was like Popeye right here because I was doing this. I couldn't let my son do this. He was 8 years old. He had to push the mower. You're laughing, and I'm serious. He started mowing grass, and he's 8 years old. But, boy, is he ever successful now because of that. Anyways, but he ministered to me. Didn't even share Jesus with me, but he cared enough about me and trusted me enough, and I'm not saying you ought to do that with everybody. You know, there was something. He was a Christian back then. And I think that had a connection, you know. You minister to people out on the streets. But, you see, if you're afraid of what's going to happen, you won't get into joint partnership in ministry. That's why you don't look at what's going to happen. That's why Jesus doesn't look at the problem. Jesus simply looks at the solution. Jesus does. Never going to come to you and say, oh my, I'm so sorry, sister. You're walking through depression. I feel so sorry for you. Oh, it's so bad and it's so sad. And I know you can't hardly pay your bills. Oh my, what am I going to do with you? Oh, help me, Father. Oh, you know, he's just not going to do that. He's going to come up and say, I've given you joy. Joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit. You don't have to be in depression. I've supplied all your need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You don't have to worry about paying your next month's rent. He says stuff like that. Amen. And you know, if we'll start talking like Jesus, we'll start having things just like Jesus did. Come on. All right. We're going to get to the second point now. Everybody say, point number two. I told you I'm a three-point preacher, okay? And we're almost done now. I've got my eye on the time. I know. And it's my time's 12:30, your time's 11:30. I'll get you out of here by a quarter till. We'll start ministering in the Spirit well, we're ministering now in the Spirit, but, you know. I love you guys. You guys are so precious to me. You are. You're so precious. Every one of you. Just so precious. Point number two. There are no miracles in the wine press. No miracles in the wine press. I could have sat and let her sit in her chair all night last night, and she wouldn't have got out of that chair. There's no miracles in the wine press. The miracles only happen when you get out of the wine press, put yourself out there, and say, God, it's you and me, baby, and we're going all the way, and if I fall, I fall, but I know you won't fall. Amen. Because it is. It's you and God all the way. And he won't fall. And I love what the Bible says anyways, and I believe it's the book in Psalms, a righteous man may fall seven times, but every time he gets back up. Every time. Amen. God doesn't look at you and say, you dirty rotten scum, I can't believe you fell again. How many times in a day did Jesus teach that you must forgive somebody? 70 times 7. I don't know anybody who's done the same stinking sin 490 times in one day.
I don't know anybody.
Nobody. No. You might have done it 489 times, and you've been forgiven every time. Well, that's not what that means. You know, that means unlimited forgiveness, really. There are no miracles in the wine press. You know what the wine press represents? And this is, as a pastor, I hated seeing this in my congregation. I'll just be honest with you. I hated it with a passion. And obviously, you can tell I'm a passionate preacher. I'm not mad when I yell and stuff, by the way. Okay, I get excited. I like to jump and dance and run about. All right? There's no miracles in the wine press because the wine press represents a place of just getting by. I hate that with a passion. In my life, in my daily life, in my business, I set goals. I set goals and I say, by the grace of God, I am worth this much every day. And I'm shooting for my goal to make that much every day. Even if I have to work 20 hours to do it, bless God, no. Not that way. But I set goals in my business. I set goals in my ministry. My goal this year in ministry was real simple, just preach once a month. And I thought, well, that's where my faith is. But the Lord already spoke to me. He said, son, you need to increase your goals. You need to believe me for more. I said, I'll do that. I'll do that. But just getting by is terrible. Any pastor can tell you that when a church settles, like Doc Childs shared the other night, when a church settles into just getting by, it's like you got to have a spiritual taser gun to get them out of their seats and get them moving again. Amen. You got to have it. You got to have the Holy Ghost just... get moving. Amen. I can do that here because I'm not your pastor. Preachers come in, blow up, and blow out. Yep. I mean, evangelists, you know, stuff. And the Spirit of God remains, amen. The seed remains, amen. Just getting by. You know what Gideon was doing in the wine press? He wasn't threshing wheat for the nation. You know who he was threshing wheat for? Somebody tell me. Himself. And maybe he was married. Maybe he was threshing for his wife and kids. Well, I'm going to thresh this wheat. Bless God. I'm going to beat this wheat against the wine press, the floor. And I hope no Midianites see. I'm going to get down here. If they see me, I'm in trouble. I know exactly what's going to happen if they see me, you men of doubt and unbelief. They're going to come by, and they're going to take everything I got. Lord knows they've done it to me over and over, and I just can't take anymore, Lord. We're hungry, and we're hungry now. But that's what he did. And all of a sudden, God shows up on the scene. I love it. How long do you think that angel of the Lord was sitting under the terebinth tree? You know, we read that verse and we go, oh, it was one verse he was sitting there. We don't know that. He could have been sitting there day after day watching Gideon go in there and thresh enough wheat for his family. Going, my. Look at that man of God. Look at that mighty man of valor. My. If I can get him out of the wine press. My. Look at those wonderful people sitting in these pew chairs. My. If we can get them out of these pew chairs and get them hitting the streets with the power and the presence of Almighty God residing in them, my. The angel of the Lord is standing by looking and saying, come on, come on, come on. Come on, you mighty woman of valor. Come on. Young lady, I'm sending you to college not just for an education. I'm sending you to college to minister my grace to those people, to minister deliverance and freedom to those people. My, 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 my. And she says, oh, I can't, Lord. I can't do that. You're not going to say that, are you? You know, it's just not enough, folks. It's not enough just to sit in our seats. And I'm going to tell you what happens when sheep stop doing the work of God. They become, well, man, I don't want to say this. It sounds offensive. I don't mean to be offensive. They sound like whiners. They start complaining. And it's amazing how sheep, again, how sheep can suddenly turn into goats. And they're supposed to be sheep. I'm a sheep. I laid down my ministry, and I'm serving in another man's ministry right now, and you will never hear me say anything bad about my pastor up in Cincinnati. Never. As a matter of fact, if y'all ever come up to Cincinnati, I go to a church called Imago Dei Christian Fellowship. We're on the internet. Pastor. Years never grew beyond 65 people. And I'm not complaining about that. What I am complaining about is our own doubt and unbelieving mouth. Every time we had ministers come in, guest ministers, and we had them about once every 6 months the first few years. Why, we the only thing we ever got anyways was housing and a gas mileage check once a month if the church had the money to pay us, and we got housing once a week if the church had the money to give us housing. That was all we ever got as pastors. And, you know, that's why God raised up a painting business, you know. He didn't want me to starve. But anyways, you know, we'd start saying, well, so-and-so's coming in. We probably won't get paid this week either. Now, let me just develop that a little bit more. I'm the pastor of the church. I'm the head of that church. I'm the one that ought to be speaking faith over that ministry and over that church. And Brother Ricardo's coming. I'll say Brother Ricardo because he never came. But Brother Ricardo's coming, and well, he's coming, and we probably won't get paid this week. You know why? Because everything, what we got paid in housing, and if it hadn't been gas check week that month, then that went into the love offering for the guest minister. And the love offering went in because at that time, we were only a congregation of about 30 people. And we wanted to take care of our ministers that came in. You know, I don't want Clifton coming in and here's $100, brother. I know you spent 80 coming up here and back, but, you know, but here's 20 profit. Praise God. You know, the Bible says in all labor there is profit. And so enjoy that 20. Okay. But I didn't want to do that. So we made sure, to the best of our ability, that ministers that came in, guest ministers, no matter who they were, that they were blessed coming in and they were blessed going out. And after a while, we'd say, well, we're probably not going to get paid. That's where our faith was. We spoke that out. I was talking to my mentor up in Michigan this week about coming down here and Pastor Jolliffe, and I said to him, I shared that experience with him, and I said, can you believe that a man of God, a man of faith, was speaking like that? I said, that was nothing but doubt rising up. That's what happens when you start questioning the things of God, and especially the integrity of a man sometimes as your pastor. You know. So, and I know nobody's doing that. I'm just using that as an example so that we can kind of relate to some things here this morning. Is that all right?
Yeah.
All right, so what are you going to have? You're going to have exactly what you're saying. As a church body, you're going to have what you're saying. I'm telling you, if you get out on the streets and you say, man, our church is on fire. We're the hottest thing going. We're the best thing going. Well, I go over to so-and-so church. Well, that's all right. I'm sorry for you, but you can come to our church and get more freedom. Praise God. We would love to have you. And I'm not into sheep stealing. But how many of you know this church has sold sheep into a lot of churches around here? I could name several churches around here that when I was here, we were sowing sheep into. Well, it's time to reap. Well, I may have said something prophetically, huh? It's time to reap. The wine press represents a place of relative safety. There are no miracles in the wine press. Why? Because it's a place of just getting by. Just getting by. And the other thing is the wine press is a losing little is enough mentality. I hate that mentality. If you're a business owner, you hate that mentality too. Losing little is enough mentality. You know why little is enough is a losing mentality? I'll tell you why. Because you get used to the idea that little is enough, and eventually you'll start keep going backwards. Humanity. I'm talking about humanity, not the Spirit of God on the inside of us, but I'm talking about the humanity that we are still part of. Humanity sinks to the lowest level. Did you realize that? Your own humanity will sink to the lowest level of where you're at. And then once you get to that level, then you start making excuses. And you start saying, well, I know the Bible says this, but boy, this sure isn't what I'm experiencing. And all of a sudden you start sinking to another level. Well, I'm preaching better than you're shouting this morning. And we don't want to shout about that, but it's the truth. But when you start speaking the Word of God, all of a sudden, faith rises. I mean, just as soon as you speak it, as soon as you speak the Word of God, faith rises up. Yeah, hallelujah. I believe that, man. I believe that. No one, I love this saying. This is given to me by the Holy Ghost. You know, Clifton is not the only one that gets sayings by the Holy Ghost. He seems to get most of them, and they're good. I got one, though. All right? I somehow flipped down to the bottom of my top of my message. Okay, this one. Listen to this. No one will challenge you to believe God for greater things in life when you are content to live in the wine press, because most of them are living in the wine press as well. So you're over here and you're saying, man, I've had enough of this wine press living, and all of a sudden I'm getting out of this wine press, and you stretch your leg out over the ledge, and all of a sudden you hit a slick spot of somebody's grape juice, the one cleaned up, and you go, whoop, and you, ah, oh, Jesus, help me, I don't know how that happened to me, I just don't know, you know, and everybody else is trying to pull you back, come back into the wine press with me, sister, come back into the wine press, don't leave me alone in here, no, if you leave me, I might have to get out of the wine press too. All right. I'll quiet my voice down a little bit then now. I'm challenging you that when you get into the power of unity in the Spirit and you decide we've had enough of this stinking wine press existence, you will come out. You will come out. I can promise you that because it's the word of the Lord. You will come out. Folks, this listen. This sanctuary could seat, what, 300 people maybe? We might have to stuff them in. But I believe God's big enough for that. How many of you believe there's another 200 sinners out there between Taylor County, Adair County, Metcalf County, Greene County? Oh, come on. Russell County. Amen. Sad but true, my wife says. Listen, there's more than 200 sinners within a three-mile radius of this church. Who's going to win them? Me. You. Sheep bear sheep. Amen. Now, goats, they don't bear sheep. Sheep bear sheep. We're sheep today, aren't we? The third and final point is this. Miracle victory is only achieved when you leave the wine press. That's the only time you see miracles. You don't need a miracle if you're just content with little is enough. You don't need a miracle if you're just content with a losing mentality. Well, my kids, they're never going to get any better. Hallelujah. They're just going to, you know, they're going to flitter around with the things of God all their life, and they're not going to get any better, and they're just, you know, that's a losing mentality. That's a little is enough mentality. Well, my life, you know, I'm going to say something here. I'm going to say something here, and I'm going to say it with love. When I was pastoring in my last church, I had a man come up to me and he said, "Brother, I want you to pray. And don't take this wrong. Don't get this wrong. So please don't shut me down until I'm done. I want you to pray with me that I will be approved for disability so that I can get disability income." Don't anybody say amen. I looked at him and I thought, why don't you want me to pray for you that you receive your healing? Why don't you want me to pray for you that you receive your healing and you can go get a job? So I compromised like a loving pastor would. Like a chicken-hearted pastor would. Chicken spirit. I said, "Brother, I'll pray for you for your healing, and I'll pray for you that you can get some money for disability." You know, my prayer for disability just voided out the prayer for healing, because he didn't want healing. He didn't want healing. He wanted disability income. He got it. My faith worked. As his pastor, my faith worked. I'm not against anybody that's on disability income, but I am saying this. If you are satisfied with disability income, that is a losing mentality, and a little is enough. Well, it's just, I got enough, you know, the government's big enough. Listen, anytime the government's big enough to pay your bills, they're big enough to put you in poverty as well. I know I'm speaking in Kentucky here. This isn't Ohio. But I'm telling you, we need to shake that thing off of us. You don't need a miracle if that's what you're happy with. I've lived on limited income. I know what limited income is. But I was never satisfied with it. And I'm not talking about money here this morning, folks. I am talking about getting out of the wine press wherever you're at. Because I'll guarantee you, if every one of us were totally honest with ourselves and the Lord, we can look at one area in our lives and say, "Man, I've been in the wine press. I've been there." Hey, there's areas God has had to literally shake me to get me out of the wine press. It's worked. Oh man, I slipped. I got hurt a few times. People were saying to me, "Oh, don't. You don't want to leave that wine press, pastor. You don't want to leave that wine press, pastor. You know that's a good stable church you're pastoring now. The income's good now, pastor. You don't want to leave that wine press, pastor." And the whole time, God is saying, "Get out of the wine press. Get out." I believe today God is saying to us as a church body, "Get out of the wine press and get into pressing in." Pressing in. Pressing in. See, sometimes we have this fear. We don't want to call, what is it, a spade a spade, is the old saying? You know. But I'm going to tell you something. God is wanting to use new life for the nations. For the nations. Amen. I look around, and let me just talk for a little bit on the natural realm. I look around. And I am not kidding you. I go to a church that is probably, I don't know, we run about 300 people in our church. It's a young church. But out of that 300 people, there is not the talent in that church that there is in this one. We don't have a Sherry Stump. We don't have a Ricardo Hughes. We don't have a Jerry Adamson. We don't have a Ronnie Burton.
We don't have a Bradley Adamson. We don't have the singers that you have. Well, we have musicians. We have singers. But I have never heard harmony so tight as I have at this church. Never. I've never seen worship teams stop mid-stride in the middle of a song and everybody do it together like that. I can't even do that to my trumpet. My worship leader used to get upset at me. Come on, Dad, you don't practice. Pastor, come on. you guys got everything going for you. You got one of the best pastors in the nation. Amen. Amen. You got a leadership team. I had no idea this church had such a good leadership base. You've got a phenomenal leadership team. You have got a beautiful facility. You've got everything in the natural you need. And you have, even greater than all of that, you've got the anointing of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You don't need anything else. You just need to use what you have. Amen. I'm telling you. You've got the, listen, if I was in this area, this would be my church. And my wife and I, we lack a mile and a half of driving 100 miles round trip to go to our church. We do that 2 times a week and sometimes 3 times a week when it's prayer meeting night. And we don't look at it and say, oh my, I'm not sure this is worth it. I mean, man, we travel an hour each way just in travel time. A typical hour and a half service costs us 3.5 to 4 hours. But it's worth it. Because that's where the anointing is flowing, and that's where the Holy Ghost told us to go. We need to get our people listening to the Holy Ghost again, don't we? Anybody can go to the latest and the greatest. Anybody can go to the biggest and the best. But I'm telling you, it takes mature believers to gut it out and to say, I'm staying and I'm going to see the power of God flow and change everything about me. And I didn't say everything around me. I said everything about me. In other words, never mind. I'm not kicking against any church. I refuse to do that. But I love pastor's mentality, Pastor Relaford's mentality. When I was associate pastor here 14 years ago, he would say stuff like this. Another church would start in the area. He'd say, well, somebody said, what do you think about that, pastor? They're taking some of your people. Well, if it's of God, it'll go. And if it's not of God, I'm not going to talk against it because it'll take care of itself anyways. That's his mentality. Now, that's not my mentality. I'm the kind of guy, if you're telling me how much you love me 1 week and how much you appreciate me, and then the next week you're going to another church, I'm coming to your house. I'm just honest with you. I'm coming to your house and I'm saying, I thought you loved me. I thought that you were committed to what God was doing here. What is going on? I'm not the kind of guy that's going to stand back and say, well, I understand. You know, people, they just get discontented sometimes. No, I'm going to kick that discontent out in Jesus' name. And I might offend some people. Now you guys know I gotta have me move north. As Northerners, they don't get offended at that kind of talk. Southerners do, but Northerners don't. They can take it, man. We thick skin. But I'll tell you what, we can all go like this too and enjoy God all the time. We don't have to stand or never mind. Hallelujah. I love you, Pastor. Both of you. This is the word of the Lord for today. This church is on the brink of miracles taking place on a regular basis. It ought to be where we're not surprised when a miracle takes place. I heard one man teach it. Andrew Womack was teaching on hardness of heart. He said, you're hard-hearted if God does a miracle and you are so astounded and shocked because you've got so used to believing in the defeat. Then when God does something victorious, you go, whoa, this is, wow, I didn't expect that. Well, get your expectors up, amen. Get your expectors up. Hallelujah. Let me close. This I will close. Verse 14 says, Then the Lord turned to him and said, go. One of the first messages I ever heard Pastor Clifton teach was go. I'll never forget it. Probably 25 years ago. Go. Then the Lord turned and said to him, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Church, I'm telling you, each one of you have the presence of God right in here. You don't need anything else. You've got the power of God Almighty Himself inside of you. Man, the Bible teaches us that. You've got whatever it takes to go. And you're not going to go in your own strength. That's a really cool thing. You're going to go in the strength of God because He's going in you. And He's going to flow through you. I don't worry about, like I said, you know, just don't worry about whether you pray, if something happens or not. Just pray, man. Pray. If you have to pray for 20 people before one person gets, I prayed for other people in wheelchairs before. They were still in a wheelchair when they left service that night. You just pray and just keep going at it. Keep going at it because it's the Word of God. The Word of God will not return void. The Word of God always, how many times? How many times?
Always.
Shout it out. How many times?
Always.
Always produces what it was sent forth to produce. It never returns void. That's a promise from God. Amen. We need to act on that. Amen. The Red Sea, the Jordan River, the 10 plagues, the walls falling down, the sun and the moon standing still, Almighty God fighting for His people in battle after battle after battle. God doesn't need to do any miracles for you as long as you're content to stay in the wine press. But when you get out of the wine press, you will start seeing miracles take place because now you're putting a demand on the presence of God, not a bad way, but in a good way, you're putting a demand on the power of God, and He's going to fulfill what you've asked Him to do. Let's all stand up. Hallelujah. I've asked Sister Bonita and Pastor Clifton and Sister Jerry to minister with me this morning because I believe that God is going to do some things. I just want you guys to come forward now. I believe some people are going to respond. This is what we are going to specifically minister for this morning. And I don't know, maybe the prophetic will flow, you know, in these areas. But when I minister the Word of God, I refuse to allow people just to walk out and say, well, you know, I don't, you know, that was a good message, Pastor. Good message. I don't want that. I don't care if they think it's a good message. What I care about is if they get deliverance through it. Amen. So I'm going to ask you a question today. And I expect you to be honest, and I don't care who you are, because there's no judgment here. Listen, there's no judgment here. There's no criticism here. If you found yourself in the wine press beating the wheat because you're afraid of what the enemy might do, or if you found yourself, you say, well, that's not me, Pastor, that's not me. If you found yourself content with we are making it, we are getting by mentality. I'm telling you, there's an anointing to get you out of that today. If you found yourself with that kind of contentment, we need to shake that off. Amen. You need to get out of that. If you found yourself wanting and desiring to see God do miracles, but you've never seen them or you haven't seen them enough, but your cry of your heart is, God, I just want you to use me. I want you to use me to reach the lost. I want you to use me to reach the hurting and the dying and the brokenhearted. God, I want you to use me to set captives free. And you know, I know that when I was here 15 years ago, that was the cry of a lot of people's hearts. We wanted God to use us. We weren't happy. Listen, when I was a youth pastor, my wife and I, we weren't happy to have 5 kids in our youth ministry. We weren't happy when it was only 10. We weren't happy when it was 15. We weren't happy when it became 20 and it became 25 and more than that. We always wanted more because every person in there meant one more person that could get freedom from the effects of sin in their life. We always wanted more. But if you found yourself always wanting more, and yet something seems to be blocking it, I want you up here. Can you pull up? Can you? And this is so the worship team. I want them in here for prayer. Is it possible to pull up that CD that I gave you again and track number 7? It's a song called Holy, Holy, Holy. Track number 7. Let's just all start praying in tongues right now. Come on. Come on. Let's press in. All this song is doing is lifting up Jesus. That's it. You can turn it up a little bit if you want, sister. Come on. Some of you are already coming. Just come on up. Come on up.
Now, I want you to look. Now, here comes a man. But you know, most of the time in churches, the women are the ones that press in. They're the ones that want more of God. But you know, men, I'm going to tell you something. I have lived an exciting life by serving God and doing what God's told me. And you know, there's such a thing as just being so thankful about what God has done for you that friendship comes out of you to other people. I've led more people to the Lord by accident than a lot of people have tried, just because I know who I am in Christ, and just because I know how God feels about me. And it's not a matter of so much boldness; it's just a matter of thankfulness. You know, out of thanksgiving in a person's heart for what God's done for you comes boldness. Comes anointing, all these other things. Gifts of healings. You know, the Bible says that one of the gifts of the Spirit is the working of miracles. And that's what we saw last night. You know, we saw a working of a miracle. You know, Pastor decided that there was a miracle here that needed to be worked, and the gifts of the Spirit took place, and it worked a miracle. There was a miracle worked here tonight. That's a gift of the Spirit. I can work through every one of us in here. I want to pray some of the men in here. Come on, Ronnie, Bob. Come on, guys. Come on. Let me lay hands on you. Thank you, Jesus. I'll pray that you get everything but my underwear. Amen. I believe in laying hands on people. Amen. Come on. What about some of you old codgers? I want some of you old codgers up here. Come on, old codger right there. Come here. Come up here. Are you an old codger right here? He's not even looking. Are you an old codger? You're not an old. Well, come up here anyway. Praise God. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Here's what the Lord showed me. We were just talking about in the wine press when these people couldn't get out of the wine press. I sat there and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, Don't depend on the key of your cellmate getting you out of your cell. Amen. You know, so many times we just depend on other people, amen. And we say, well, I'm just as spiritual as they are. Or you know, they're not doing anything, so I don't guess I have to. And then they're telling you, you need to be free, and they're in the same cell with you. Come on. The idea of sin and worrying about sin keeping you from being able to do what God wants you to do is over. God took care of that. He took care of that. That's over once and for all forever. And Christians spend most of their time still trying to please God by being good. We become human doings instead of human beings. Amen? And if you'll just realize what God's done for you and start being the person that God has made you, ministry flows out naturally. And you may ask him, so where is my ministry? One time I was preaching, and this guy was standing before me, and I walked up, and I said, brother, what do you need? He said, I'm so poor. He said, I'm standing right in the middle of my wardrobe. And I didn't understand what he meant for a minute, but then I realized every stitch of clothes he had was on his back. He didn't have any at home in the closet. Everything he had was on him, everything he possessed. And one day I was praying for this guy, and he said, I just want you to pray for me to know where my ministry is. And I stepped back and was getting ready to pray for him and said, tell him he's standing right in the middle of it. Amen. He's standing right in the middle of his ministry. Wherever you are, amen, is where your ministry is. Amen. Ooh, that's powerful stuff. Praise God. That's powerful stuff. You know, just being good to people can mean so much to them in the day and age we live in. Everybody you run into, you expect them to be a grouch because of economy. You expect them to be a grouch because you don't have to be a grouch. Praise God. Man, you be happy. Come on. Be happy. Let people know. Somebody like, you know, nobody has ever followed an ice truck through town. But they'll follow a fire truck. Amen. So if you get on fire for God, somebody will come and watch you burn. Amen. Somebody wants to know what's going on in your life. Amen. I want to lay hands on you, Ronnie Burton.
Thank you. Thank you. Somebody shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Yes! Woo!
Hallelujah. Thank you. This young man wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's lift your hands. Thank you, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. What time does the service start tonight? 6:30. 6. Get here at 5:30 and you'll be on time. I'll give you an hour to pray, or how long it takes you. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to be preaching tonight, or I'm just going to get up here and let the Holy Ghost say a few things. And I'm going to be preaching on Acts, the continuation of the church. Amen. So we're going to revisit Joel's place tonight. Amen. And receive what the folks in the book of Acts received. Just ordinary people like me and you doing extraordinary things for God. Amen. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. One thing I found out about the Holy Spirit, it empowers you to be a witness. The blood of Jesus is what saves you. That's what's keeping you. The Holy Spirit's been given to us for the power to be able to witness to the uttermost parts of the earth and to see miracles, signs, and wonders. And the Bible says, and thousands of souls are added to the church daily. Glory to God. Amen. So I'll come back tonight expecting. Thank you. Thank you all for being obedient to God. You can. And Brother Clifton got to pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Hey, come on. I like that.
He didn't wait for that all weekend.
I love praying for people with the Holy Ghost. Come on, say Holy Ghost, everybody. Jerry and I are going to be leaving. We've got to go pick up a granddaughter that's in Indiana. That's been there for how long? And we've missed her. And so we've got to go back and get her back down to see, they live in Farmington. And so we're going to go back through there. So we're not going to be able to stay for the service tonight, Shirley. We're sorry about that. But she's already calling and wanting to know what time we're going to get there. Started calling us early this morning. So she's missing Mama and Papa too. So. But I just, and Gerald, if you're watching, he's probably eating. I hope he is. I hope it tastes good. I hope you keep her down, buddy. And but thank you, Gerald and Vern, for inviting us, and Shirley and everybody else in leadership here. And thank you, Bonnie, and where'd Bonnie go? And Richard for putting up with us. But we just want to thank you guys. You guys are our home away from home, and we love you. And we're always glad to be able to come down here. And I just think this is a great church. I've said that I don't know how many times. And I really believe that when Gerald gets back, he's going to come back. He's going to be like Jesus when he come out of the wilderness. He's going to come in the strength and the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And he's going to be a wild man, praise God, when he gets back. And so you guys have this place filled up for him. Amen. That'd be a good time. His first service here would be a great invitation time to be able to invite people to come and say, hey, our pastor's coming back, hadn't been here for a while, we want you to come and hear him and just honor him that way, amen? And this church is going to grow. This young man right here filled with the Holy Ghost, come on, got born again, praise God, got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, and how many others, this brother right back here, praise God, he's full of the Holy Ghost, praise God, hallelujah. And where'd that little girl go? And the people that are healed, man, I'll tell you what a deal. Maxine got healed last night, amen. She can't act like she don't hear you anymore, Harold. She got her ears healed last night. and you know, it's exciting to be here. And I know you're going to have a great time tonight. Man, I believed everything that the Lord was telling me to say to you, and I believe every prophecy that I've heard spoken over you this week, and I believe it's time. I believe it's a new time, a new start, amen.
And, you know, Gerald, this thing that happened to him was pretty serious, but he'd been needing to go to the shop for a while anyway. Come on. And so he's just getting tuned up all over, amen? Everything's getting tuned up, and he's going to find out when he comes out of there that he's not going to have to worry about a lot of this stuff that he's been worried about. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's had these little annoying things, you know, aggravating him. And so now he's went into the shop, amen, for one thing, but he's getting a complete tune-up. And he's gonna come out of there, praise God, like a wild man. And we thank you for having us, amen. God bless you.
I was praying with Brother Jim and Connie and Clifton and Sister Jerry the other night, and Rich and them was lost somewhere. And I said, well, Brother Clifton, Jim and Connie are the head, and I'm the tail, and you and Rich are going to be squashed in the middle. What do you think about that? Or we could do it vice versa. They could be the, you know, Jim and Connie could be the tail, and I could be the head, and I'm just going to tell them all what they need to do. Now, how they take us all working together with different gifts and talents to minister to people and bring the gospel. Amen. Father, thank you for what you've done today. Lord, we're not just saying this is finished. This is the beginning. We have regrouped, Father God, in unity. And we say this is the time. This is our time, Father God, to do exploits for the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father, what you have done today, last night, and Friday night, and what you're going to do tonight, Father. Thank you. Our Lord, thank you for going with us, that we are blessed. We are the highly favored of the Lord. Your favor surrounds and encamps around about us, Lord. And we thank you for that. And the church said...